Bless you, Sean. The subject we're going to be taking a look at this morning is power and authority. And after what Dave Hunt said, maybe an alternative title might be changing your mindset regarding power and authority, because I think very often we don't understand our position, the position we've been given regarding power and authority. The microphone seems a bit loud. Does it need to be turned down a little bit, Richard? Testing. That's better. Thank you. We're going to just pray before we look at some scriptures. Father, just thank you for the position we have regarding power and authority that we're going to look at this morning. I pray as we turn to your word that you will open our minds so that we can receive a greater revelation of what your word says and the way that you've equipped us in regards to power and authority. I just ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I was blessed earlier that Sean started the service with Genesis, the first two verses, because that's where we're going to start with the sermon this morning. So if you could turn with me, please, to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to start right at the beginning, just as Sean did. We're going to be turning to a few scriptures this morning. It's the best way, I think, to have a look at this subject. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. Now God said, let there be light. And there was light. We're going to stop there because it goes on. Obviously, we know the creation story, I'm sure, that God spoke things into being. But what I want us to take away from this is that the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters, it says. And that is the Hebrew word ruach. It's the Holy Spirit that was hovering there over the waters. And as God spoke things into being, they appeared from nothing. They were created through the power of the Holy Spirit. And you know, The whole Trinity was actually involved in the creation, wasn't it? The Father was there speaking it, the Holy Spirit was there creating, and all things were created, we know, by and through Jesus. They were all involved, but it was the Holy Spirit that was there that was the creative force through which all things came into being. And that's how we have to look at physical things, that they can come from nothing. And you know, even atheists believe that, don't they? Because they believe that in the beginning there was nothing, essentially, and that exploded somehow, and everything came into being, even though at the start there had to have been nothing. I think it makes more sense to believe there was a creative force there at the beginning. But, you know, we can often look at physical things and tend to think that it's impossible for them to change or be changed. But if we go back to the beginning and we recognize that all physical things came from nothing and they came out of the spiritual realm, then suddenly it's a lot easier to believe for creative miracles, I believe. And that power of the Holy Spirit is a creative power. A while ago I heard a testimony. It was Amy Semple McPherson. I don't know if you've heard of her. She had a ministry a while ago, and she saw amazing things happen in terms of healings taking place in her meetings. But somebody was interviewing her children, and they said to them, what was the most amazing thing that you saw happen in your mum's ministry? Because they'd gone around with her to these various meetings. And he was expecting them to say, you know, we saw an amazing healing miracle. Somebody, you know, came out of a wheelchair or something like that. But they said the most amazing thing was we were traveling back from a meeting and the car got a puncture. And we were in the middle of nowhere and we didn't have a spare tire. I didn't know, you know, how it was going to be dealt with. But this lady, Amy Semple McPherson, she got out, she laid her hands on the tire, and miraculously it re-inflated and repaired itself, and she was able to drive on. Now, you know, when you hear an amazing miracle like that, it's a natural thing to kind of think, well, did that really happen? Can that really happen? But, you know, is it such an amazing thing to believe that the Creator God, through whom everything was created from nothing, can do that? Of course he can do that. It's easy for God to do that. And yet, in our minds, we often think, you know, we'd never see that in our own lives. It's not gonna happen for us. And I think when you hear that story, the reaction you have to it is a reaction to which you're believing for creative miracles in your own life. It can highlight if you're not really thinking that's possible, if you think, well, she must have imagined it, or it must have been half half full of air and she struggled on. You know, that really says a lot about where our mindset is regarding creative miracles and seeing miracles in our own life. So the first thing we're looking at is power. And the power that we have as believers is referred to in the New Testament by the Greek word dunamis. And that word actually means miraculous power. So thinking back to the miraculous power of the Holy Spirit that created everything in the first place, dunamis implies a miraculous power that can see things change in the physical realm. And I just want us to turn to Luke chapter 6, please. Luke chapter 6, this is a reference to that power as it was operating in Jesus' life. And it's Luke 6, verse 19. This is talking about the people coming to Jesus. It says, and the people all tried to touch him because power was coming from him and healing them all. And that word there for power is dunamis. It's this miracle performing power that Jesus had. And he was operating in that power. People were coming to him, and it says he was healing them all. There was creative power. There was life in this dunamis power that Jesus had. And could we turn also to Acts chapter 10, please? This is again talking about Jesus and his ministry. Acts 10, verse 36. Where it says, you know the message God sent to the people of Israel, telling you the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. That word again there, which talks about Jesus being anointed with the Holy Spirit and power, is this dunamis power that the Holy Spirit brings. And it says, you know, that Jesus operated in that power because God was with him. And I believe it's right to say that Jesus was a man, but when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, he was able to operate and see miracles happen in his own life. He had that Holy Spirit anointing, and it says that as he grew in wisdom and knowledge. He was a man, but then when he was empowered by God, when he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, that's when his miraculous demonstration of the miraculous began. In John chapter 1, Jesus is baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then in John 2, he does his first miracle, which is it's a supernatural, you know, things changing in the physical, where the water was turned into wine. I'm sure you're familiar with that story. Now we're going to just turn and see how this affects us personally. If you can turn back to Acts chapter 1, please. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples before he was taken back up into heaven. And he says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. This word for power, once again, is dunamis. There's actually several words in the Greek that talk about power. The most common one is dunamis, and again, this verse is dunamis. It's that miracle working power. And Jesus is saying, you know, you're going to have this miracle working power. You're going to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have this miracle working power. And you know, you can look at the way Jesus was anointed with the Holy Spirit and then had this miracle working power. And it sounds very similar, doesn't it? The way that we are baptized in the Holy Spirit and we receive a miracle working power. And it says also in this verse, the reason that we receive it, so that we will be his witnesses, you know, throughout the earth. That's why we have this miracle working power once we're baptized in the Holy Spirit. It's so we can take the gospel out there and see people change and see people saved. Let's just turn to Ephesians chapter 6, please. You know, the book of Ephesians is a great book for just discovering what we have been given, what we've been equipped with. And we're just going to look at Ephesians 3 and read verses 16 to 20. Ephesians 3, verse 16. I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And these verses that we're looking at here, again, it's dunamis power that's referred to when it says that he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being. It's this dunamis power. And again in verse 20, to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. So it's that dunamis power in us that's working through us. And that's what God wants to see happen in our lives. He doesn't want that power to be there and lying dormant. He wants it to be put to use in our lives. We're going to turn to John chapter 14. We've considered the way that dunamis was operating in the life of Jesus. And we've looked at the fact that we have that same baptism of the Holy Spirit, that anointing with a miracle working power. But you might be thinking, well, that was Jesus and I'm me. I'm not going to see things happen in my own life. But let's look at John chapter 14 and verse 12, where it says, I tell you the truth, anyone who has faith in me will do what I have been doing. He will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. So Jesus himself was saying that as believers we'll be doing greater things than people saw him do in his life. And you know, in verse 14, it says, you may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. And we're going to just consider the name of Jesus and the authority that we have. Can we just turn to Philippians 2, please? I said we'd be turning to a few scriptures, didn't I? These are powerful verses we're looking at, aren't they? Philippians 2 and verse 9. This is talking about Jesus' position. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So God has given Jesus a position that is above everything. And it mentions there every realm, really, doesn't it? In heaven and on earth and under the earth. That's referring to spiritual realms. He's preeminent in every realm. That's the position Jesus has been given by the Father. And if we can turn to Matthew 28, please. Matthew 28, verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. So here we see Jesus saying that he has been given all authority. He received all authority from the Father. He's preeminent. he has a preeminent position and he has all authority. All authority originates with the Father, doesn't it? There's no other authority. There's no other place that authority can come from. And all authority has been given to Jesus. And that word in Matthew 28:18, that word for authority is exousia. And it implies a power that comes with authority. So it's a power that's there, but also with the authority to use that power. And, you know, we're going to just look at the commands that Jesus gave to his disciples regarding that authority in Matthew chapter 10, please. Matthew chapter 10, verse 7 and 8. And Jesus is instructing his 12 disciples as they go out. He says, "As you go, preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, freely give." So his instruction to them is to go out and basically do what he'd been doing in his ministry, seeing the sick healed, declaring the good news of the kingdom. And he wanted them to use the power they had to see these miracles happen and to defeat the enemy. And he'd given them an authority. It was a delegated power and authority. Today, we've been given the power. It indwells us, so the power is ours. But we still have that delegated authority to use it through Jesus' name in our own lives. And Jesus says, doesn't he, "If you ask anything in my name, I will do it," in John 14. The name of Jesus is powerful. When it's coupled with faith, there's such power in the name of Jesus. We're going to just turn to Acts chapter 3. I think this is a great example of using that power and authority. And I believe very often as believers, we don't recognize the part that God wants us to play in certain situations and the part that he plays. And very often we pray to God to do something, whereas he's equipped us to deal with situations. And this is a good example, I believe, of that. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. One day Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer at 3 in the afternoon. Now a man crippled from birth, was being carried to the temple gate called Beautiful, where he was put every day to beg from those going into the temple courts. When he saw Peter and John about to enter, he asked them for money. Peter looked straight at him, as did John. Then Peter said, "Look at us." So the man gave them his attention, expecting to get something from them. Then Peter said, "Silver or gold I do not have, but what I have I give you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." Taking him by the right hand, he helped him up, and instantly the man's feet and ankles became strong. He jumped to his feet and began to walk. Then he went with them into the temple courts, walking and jumping and praising God. That's a wonderful story, isn't it? But I believe that we can learn a lot from it, because they don't say, you know, God can heal you, and then pray and ask God to do it. They say, "Such as I have, I give you." And they command him to walk. They speak into his situation, but they say, "In Jesus' name." They're recognizing that they have the power and that they also have the authority to be able to use it. So it's a powerful story. In verse 12, let's just read verse 12. It says, when Peter saw this, he said to them, what happened was the people were all coming to Peter because they'd seen this miracle. But Peter says to the men of Israel, "Why does this surprise you? Why do you stare at us as if by our own power or godliness we had made this man walk?" So Peter's acknowledging there it wasn't his own power in himself as a man, but it was the power of God operating through him, because the power of God was in him and he was able to use it and he had the authority to use it. And in verse 16 it says, let's just read that. It says, "By faith in the name of Jesus, this man who you see and know was made strong. It is Jesus' name and the faith that comes through him that has given this complete healing to him, as you can all see." So there he's saying, you know, the power isn't his, but the power is there for him to use. God wants to work with us. And also, it was the name of Jesus. That was the authority that he was working under. And we're just the same. We're ambassadors for Jesus. We have that same power and authority, and he's given us the privilege of being able to use it in certain situations. We're going to turn to Luke chapter 10, please. We've looked at Jesus sending out the 12, and this is referring to when the 72 were sent out. At the start of the chapter, he gives them a similar instruction to go out to heal the sick in the towns they go into. And in verse 17, we can see the result of that after they come back. The 72 returned with joy and said, "Lord, even the demons submit to us in your name." And Jesus replied, he said, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. Nothing will harm you." He'd given them the authority to go out and operate in the power that he'd given them and to see things happen. And they're maybe a bit like us. They couldn't believe they had it. Sometimes we have so much unbelief that we can do it that we never actually begin to operate in this. But, you know, they came back and said, "Lord, we can't believe it. Even the demons are responding as we use your name." And that reference in there of snakes and scorpions is referring to spiritual forces of darkness, and we have authority over them. As they went out and spoke to people and commanded and spoke life into people, they saw people being freed from the bondage of the enemy and from the his realm of darkness. And there's an interesting thing in this verse, because when it says you have this authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy, that word "power of the enemy" is again this word dunamis. And you know, people sometimes say, the enemy's defeated and he has no power. That's not actually true. He is defeated, but he does have a degree of power, and it's dunamis, a miracle performing power. And I think we sometimes don't recognize this. If you look at in Exodus, when Aaron threw his rod on the floor, it turned into a snake, and Pharaoh's own men were able to do a counterfeit miracle. They were able to throw a staff down, and that too turned into a snake. But then Aaron's snake ate their snake, just to show that his power was superior. But I think we need to recognize he's not powerless, but this is the thing: he doesn't have any authority. He doesn't have any authority in himself. He has some power, but in himself, the enemy and all of his realm has no authority. The only reason he's able to operate is through human authority. It's only as people give him permission to operate in their own lives, or just do nothing about the fact that he's operating in their life, that he has some authority. It's such an important thing to recognize. He is a defeated enemy. Jesus defeated him on the cross, but he can affect your life. He has some power, but only if we're giving him the authority to do it. If he's doing things in your life, really, it's illegal. He's getting away with it only because we're not enforcing the law, if you like, the law of the Spirit of life that sets us free from the law of sin and death. You know, 1 John 3 verse 8 says, "The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work." So that's why he came to earth. It was to see people freed from their bondage to sin and from all the ways in which, you know, the enemy, the devil, affects people's lives, whether it's holding them, you know, in bondage and sickness, or just through them not being saved. They're in bondage to him. We're born into that bondage, aren't we, through sin. But Jesus came to destroy his work. And in John 17:18, it says, "As you have sent me, so I send you," talking about his disciples. He was sending them out, if you like, with the same remit that he had in his own ministry, to see the work of the devil destroyed. And you know, Jesus had to become a man to be able to restore authority to us, because in the very beginning, God gave Adam and Eve dominion over the earth. He said, "Fill the earth and subdue it," in Genesis 1:28. So man was given dominion over the earth, but it was only through our rebellion against God that the enemy, Satan, was able to have a degree of authority. But he was using man's authority that God had given to man, because he didn't have any authority of his own. He saw an opportunity to gain some authority. And it was through our rejection of that relationship with God, Adam's rejection and the sin, that we gave some dominion to Satan. And it required Jesus to become a man and live a sinless life and become a perfect sacrifice so that we could see authority restored. He regained the authority that we lost, and he's just restoring it to us once again in an amazing way. So we're going to just come to the end, but I want us just to consider what we've spoken about and how do we walk in it today. Well, I believe a very important thing is being in submission to God. Sometimes we look for results in our lives, but we're not really interested in giving our lives over completely to God. And I believe that's such an important thing. It says in James 4:7, doesn't it, that we need to submit ourselves to God and then resist the enemy. So we need to be in submission to God. We need to want to see his will done in our lives. We need to really want to see the things that happened in his ministry happen in our own lives. You know, we sung earlier about break my heart for what breaks yours. It's that kind of feeling where we have that same love for the lost that Jesus had, and the Holy Spirit can help us to have that. But we need to understand our position in Christ, to understand that we have been given this dunamis, miracle-working power, but that we've also been given the power and authority to use it. So if the enemy is affecting our lives or we see him affecting other people's lives, there's something we can do about it. And also, we need to recognize the importance of words, because as we looked at in the beginning, God spoke things into being, and the Holy Spirit operated as God spoke. And you know, I believe that's exactly the same now. We have to speak faith-filled words. We have to speak the truth of God's word, and as we do that, things begin to happen. We can stand up against the enemy in any way that he's affecting our lives or the lives of others. We have the ability to stand against him. And that just comes back to what I was saying at the beginning, that very often we look to God to do things, whereas in a lot of situations, he's equipped us to deal with it. And it's operating in what he's given us, recognizing that we've been blessed with this amazing power within us and the authority to use it. And rather than asking God to do certain things, he's saying to you, you know, I want my power to flow through you, but you need to take a step of faith in this situation. We looked to about the way the Holy Spirit came on believers in Acts, and it's such an important thing to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to be anointed with that power, that miracle-working power, and it doesn't automatically happen when you get saved. Paul visited a group of believers, didn't he? And he said, what baptism have you received? And they were baptized in water, but they hadn't received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and they hadn't even heard of it. And so he prayed for them, he laid hands on them and prayed, and they received this baptism of the Holy Spirit. And you know, to lead an effective Christian life, you need to have the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So in closing, I just want to appeal to you as the band come up, if they don't mind, if they just maybe play some music. There's an opportunity for you, if you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to come forward to be prayed for so that you can be empowered to live the Christian life in the way that Jesus wants you to live it, to recognize that you have this dunamis power, that it can be given to you as you're prayed for, that you can speak in tongues, that you can see miracles happen in your own life. And if you need a miracle in your life, come forward to be prayed for. But you know, it's great when we can see miracles happen in the lives of others through us. I believe that's a sign of, you know, real Christian maturity, that we're not always those that come for prayer, but we're those that can begin to pray for others and see others change through what we pray and what we put into their lives. So please do, as the band plays, come forward. We'd love to pray with you at the front, whether you need a miracle yourself or whether you just want to say, I want to walk more in this miraculous power. And it was great that Julie came forward and testified. You know, we see these things happening in the church, people being healed, of lives being changed. I was speaking to somebody earlier who was telling me an amazing testimony, which maybe he'll share one day, of how God works in his life. And there's amazing power available to us, especially as we use it to spread the gospel. There's such power there that goes with it. So I just encourage you, come forward for prayer. If you're a Christian, you're a believer here, and you can't look back to a time when you received that baptism of the Holy Spirit, when you began to operate in real power, or you're not sure, come forward and we'd love to pray with you. Bless you.
Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Let the weak say, I am strong. Let the poor say, I am rich. Let the blind say, I can see. It's what the Lord has done in me. Hosanna, Hosanna. The saving arms of God.